Hello, welcome to National Treasure Minute. This is the podcast where we analyze, scrutinize, and celebrate National Treasure 1 minute at a time. My name's Hugh
HughKeen.com. I messed up.
Go ahead.
I'm Sarah.
We'll just leave it in.
Okay.
And today we're going to be talking about minute 9 of National Treasure. Minute 9 starts with Nicolas Cage, Benjamin Gates, hitting metal or wood with his ice pick underneath the snow. And minute 9 ends with Benjamin Gates saying, I am relieved that I'm not as crazy as everyone says. Or, I'm relieved that I'm not as crazy as everyone says. It's more how he inflects it. So, what did you have first? What were your initial thoughts?
Well, I don't have a lot of thoughts written down. I didn't think it was that interesting of a minute. But I've realized I'm becoming more of a cynic by watching a movie minute by minute. Because I feel like I just...
Like of its weaknesses?
Yeah, I feel like now I just more notice what's wrong with it.
Yeah.
That I wouldn't care about if I was just watching the movie.
I think that's called being a critic.
Yeah.
You're becoming a movie critic.
I guess
so.
Of
this movie.
I guess so.
Watching it slower.
But one thing, and I, when we went back and rewatched it a few times, I didn't notice it as much. But when we watched it the first time, it almost seemed like the noise came right before he actually hit it. Like, that's the impression I got the first time.
Okay.
And then, shouldn't this ship be deeper?
Deeper in the snow?
Yeah.
Yeah, I had that thought, too. Like, since they were talking about how many years it had been there.
Yeah.
And then he sort of just, like, digs straight to it after he finds it with his metal detector.
Yeah, it's just sort of one of those things, I guess, where I just have to accept it because it's a movie.
Yeah.
But... And then the other cynic side of it. Actually, I had a question too. But anyway, what's the guy's name? The bad guy?
Ian Howe.
Ian.
That's the character's name.
Yeah. The interaction that they had when it was like, oh man, I couldn't have done this without you. That's so not organic at all.
Yeah.
That's never... I'm not a guy, but I'm assuming that wouldn't happen between two guys if they're having that conversation.
Yeah. I hadn't thought about it that way. I also have comments on that interaction that they have. But it definitely would have been a shorter conversation of like, hey, thanks for believing or like, thanks for doing this for me. And the guy would be like, yeah, no problem. I'm glad we found it. And then that would be, like, the whole conversation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It just seemed, mwah. I don't know. Not
just
real.
Mwah.
Just, like, I could have done that acting.
I see.
And I have no...
So do you think it was badly written, or do you think it was badly acted?
Both.
Okay.
Yep.
Coming out hitting hard this episode.
I know it.
All right. Do you have any other initial thoughts, or...?
I'll stop there for now.
Okay. Let's see. The first thought I had when he hit the thing and it made a sound was that it sounded like Iron Man. When Tony Stark's building his initial Iron Man suit in the first Iron Man movie.
Okay.
I know you haven't seen this movie.
No, but one of the kids in my class, they're doing famous American biographies and they get to choose who they're doing. And one kid at first was going to do Tony Stark. I didn't know that was the guy's real name.
It's a character's name.
Okay,
it's
that's
not a
what,
real person.
Oh, okay. So that's what I thought. And I was like, is that the person's real name? And they're like, yeah. And I was like, I don't think it is. But I'm not teaching
Tony
that.
Tony Stark is the character's name, but he's also Iron Man. So like if you're asking a kid, is that Iron Man's real name? Then, you know what I mean?
But, like, he was not the only one I was talking to.
Oh, okay.
Like, other people were also saying that was his real name. And I'm like, I mean, I don't know because I haven't seen it.
Yeah.
But surely that's not somebody's real name.
Yeah.
So who is Iron Man?
So Iron Man is Tony Stark when he's not Iron Man.
Right, but who's
the guy who plays Tony Stark in Iron Man is Robert Downey Jr.
That's what I thought, but nobody was saying that. Everybody was saying it was Tony Stark, and I was so confused.
Well, you can't believe everything fourth graders say, so.
I guess so.
You were right in what you were thinking, it sounds like.
Okay.
So anyway, in the first Iron Man movie, he's using a hammer to build this suit, and that's what that ice pick sounded like to me. Then my second comment was water bottle not frozen, because he gets out a water bottle to pour onto the snow to like get it to melt away so he can see, but like he's in the Arctic. And it's just a plastic water bottle. It's not like a canteen or something that's not affected by temperature. It's literally like a water bottle you would take to soccer practice or something.
Do you think it was because it was inside of his coat, though? Surely that gave some protection.
It's...
I didn't have...
Look who's being the optimist now. I thought you were going to try to tear this apart.
I didn't have the thought at all.
I thought you would notice it right away.
I was like, why does he have a water bottle in his pocket? That's what I thought. And I was well, maybe he's doing it to force himself to hydrate, because it's hard to force yourself to hydrate when you're like, it's cold.
Yeah.
I don't need water.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know why he had it in his jacket. Maybe for that specific reason. That's not what I thought about at all. I just thought about how is that water actually... not freezing when it's coming out of that bottle. Or not already frozen in the bottle.
So you think that because they had been outside for so long, it should have frozen? Because like if you just walk outside and it's freezing or below freezing.
How long were they metal detecting?
I don't know. That's what I'm asking you. Is that why you think? You think it's because after they got out of their little truck?
What I think is that it's so cold up in the Arctic, it doesn't matter how long you're outside, any liquid you have on you is going to freeze.
You think right away?
Not right away, but like he didn't go get that water bottle out of the vehicle and bring it over and pour it on the thing.
Yeah.
He had it in his jacket the whole time he'd been outside. I don't know. I just felt like it didn't make sense to me. You could say that it wasn't water. It could have been some other type of liquid that doesn't freeze, doesn't have a freezing point, or like its freezing point is much lower.
That's true.
And then that would make sense if it was some sort of chemical or something. But then it would be more of a marked bottle, I would feel like, or you might drink the chemicals you'd brought. But anyway, that was just one question I had. And I thought for sure you were going to bring that up, because I was like, she always notices the
irrelevant
errors.
Yeah.
And so I was like, she's going to say something about the water bottle, but I guess not. Then I said, seemed like there were more people there than there are later inside the boat, which I know we haven't got, or the ship, which I know we haven't got to yet. But then I counted, and there's only six. So I guess that's...
Yeah, I had the same thought whenever they did the dramatic... snowmobile drive thing. Mm-hmm. I was like, who's driving that? But I couldn't remember
think about that. There's got to be people inside of that thing too.
Well, I'm guessing there's probably one. And then I counted, I think there were five sitting there.
I thought I counted six.
I don't know.
So that would, either way, it's six or seven people. But like initially I thought it was like 10 people. And I was like, there's not 10 people later. There's only like six people inside that boat.
Yeah.
And then along with that, there's no way, it doesn't matter, like, if they're trying to tell me that's the same day, I know it was supposed to represent a passage of time. They did not clear that much of that ship in one day with six people.
Yeah.
Like, that's like a...
Also, how do you even clear it? Because you can't just drive on top of it.
Yeah, you can't. That's the thing. They would have had to hand shovel around all that stuff. And then once they got to all the parts, they would have had to like brush around it to make sure they didn't destroy any of it. Like they were at an architecture or an archaeology site or something. So that was just unrealistic as well. And then I said, and then I also had a comment about the conversation, the interaction that Ben and Ian have about finding it. But my comment about it was that it was a weird time to have that conversation. Because what we're shown is that this is a considerable amount of time later. Probably they want us to think either that day. There's no way it's the next day, I don't think. And all this time later, and they've done all this work of like getting this boat cleared off, and then they sit on it and they say, "Wow, I'm so glad we found it."
Yeah.
Where all of that conversation should have happened as soon as he found that bell.
Sure.
Like, they didn't have to uncover the top half of that ship before they had the conversation of like, "Oh yes, we found it." You know, it's just funny to me that in reality.
Wait. Yes. Did you say that was a bell?
I thought it was a bell, right?
Oh, in my head this whole time. Well,
what do you think it was?
I always thought it was like a treasure box.
Like a treasure chest. It might.
I don't know.
Well, I thought it was some sort of like container like that as well. But then when we watched it today, since it made that sound, that's not a sound that wood makes. So it would have been metal.
Yeah, you're right.
And then I noticed it had like Massachusetts and something written on the top of it.
Boston Massacre said.
Yeah. That's not what it said.
Yes, it did.
No. It said Boston, Massachusetts, but the second half was blanked out.
My brain filled in it as Boston Massacre. Wow, I need to go back and rewatch that.
Gosh.
But you know how your brain, you don't finish reading words?
Yeah.
Well, clearly mine just thought it was Massacre.
Why would they put anything on that chip that said Boston Massacre?
I don't know. What year did that take place versus what year was the Charlotte
Is the Boston Massacre when they shot those three guys? Like the
I thought it was more
soldiers
than three.
Shot into the crowd or something?
Yeah.
Okay. That probably would have happened before the Charlotte. I'm not sure.
So it could have been. It could have been the Boston Massacre. I thought this whole time.
You didn't even think it was a bell.
Okay? I rewatched that scene so many times, and I thought it said Massacre every time.
Did you have anything else about this minute?
No. About this minute?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What did you research?
My unimportant thing that I looked at today was I was looking at his jacket and the...
Whose jacket?
Ben's. What's that? Like a patch. He had a patch on his arm. And it said... I couldn't figure out what the word in front of program was, but then it was Canada Arctic Program. And so I tried to look that up.
Canada Arctic.
Okay. Not even Canadian Arctic Program, just Canada.
Okay.
Which I thought was weird. Anyway, I guess it's sort of a real thing, but they don't. From what I could tell, the programs that they do now, which I guess this movie isn't real, so it doesn't matter. But anyway, they do like preserving the Arctic and like projects like that, or like learning stuff, not discovering old things.
Yeah.
Anyway, well, the first thing that popped up was you could buy these jackets and stuff like he was wearing for $1,600. Well, some of them were $1,200.
Wow.
But I'm like, why not just buy him a puffy coat? You know, he's not even from Canada, or at least he doesn't live in Canada.
Well, maybe they got money for sponsorships.
Maybe it's
an ad, him wearing that
jacket. That could be.
Or maybe.
But nobody's going to look at it except me.
Maybe they were like, we need to buy coats for this. And they gave the cast the option if they wanted to buy their own coat. And Nicolas Cage was like, yeah, I'll buy one of those.
Yeah, I'll flex and
$2,000.
Yeah.
It probably would have been less in 2004 than it is now.
Yeah.
But
maybe this movie was so big, that's why they're so expensive now.
Maybe. But then you're like, well...
Because everybody in Canada is nice, and so they would like Nicolas Cage, unlike Americans who don't like him.
I like Nicolas Cage.
Okay, well, I was going to say you need to go to Canada, but you want to live in...
Britain. Which is not where Nicolas Cage is from.
Nope.
Yeah. Anything else?
Nope.
Okay.
I did logic puzzles the rest of the time while you were researching.
Okay. Now we move into a segment of our show, which we call the Actor Spotlight.
I'm not going to make a comment. I know you're waiting for me to.
You just did.
Okay, but I'm not going to make my usual comment.
Okay, so today's actor is Sean Mark Bean.
Bean.
B-E-A-N.
That reminds me. I need to make some black bean brownies.
So the interesting thing is that since Sean spelled like Sean, that his names are spelled the same, except they just have different first letters.
Huh?
So Sean is S-E-A-N, and Bean is B-E-A-N. So oh. His name's sort of cool looking because of that, in my opinion.
But whenever I was younger, I did not understand how Sean was spelled S-E-A-N.
Yeah, I still don't understand it.
I mean, I still don't either, but I knew a kid whose name was that, and I was like, why not just spell it?
How it sounds?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
But either. That might be, well, I only think it's the, like, girl version of it, because Sean Johnson, that's how she spells her name. So maybe that's a thing.
Maybe. Welcome to Baby Name Minute. Okay, so Sean Bean... You want to guess how old he is now or how old he was during the movie?
In the movie, he looks like 45.
Okay.
And now he's 17, 62.
You nailed it.
No. Yep. No. Both of them?
Yep.
No way.
45. How could you not nail one of them and... Nail the other one.
Well, I didn't know if I had the year right. I didn't know if I had the year right for when it came out.
He was 45 when the movie happened, and he's 62 now.
What do I win?
Nothing.
Oh.
Sorry. He plays Ian Howe in the movie that we're talking about right now, National Treasure.
Maybe I could get a sound for that if I get something right. I could get my own sound effect.
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
I'll edit it.
Okay,
in.
I didn't listen to what you just said because I was thinking about that. So can you repeat that?
I was just saying that he plays Ian Howe in National Treasure. Okay, I'm going to list off some names for you.
Okay.
And you need to tell me what is similar about, or like what they all have in common.
Okay.
Deborah James, Melanie Hill, Abigail Cruttenden, Georgina Sutcliffe. And Ashley Moore.
I'm going to guess that they were all married to him at some point in time.
Dang it.
Oh, sound
too
effect.
Smart.
Insert sound effect here.
You're ruining all my bits. Yeah, so he married Deborah James in 1981. It was his sweetheart from high school.
I think that's called high school sweetheart.
And they were married 7 years. And then he married Melanie Hill. Who in 1990, but they actually had a kid together in 1987, which was the year before he broke up with his first wife. So he had a kid with his second wife before he divorced his first wife. And then he was only married, then he was married to his second wife, Melanie Hill, for 7 years as well. So he was being consistent. Then he married Abigail Cruttenden in 97 and had his second kid. And they divorced in 2000, so only 3 years. And then he married Georgina Sutcliffe from 2008 to 2011. And there was claims of physical abuse in that relationship before it ended, that he was abusing her. And then he married Ashley Moore in 2017. And so he has 3 kids, and one of them's with his second wife in I think 2 of them are with his third wife.
So he's still married to this one now?
Yeah. He got married in 2017 and he's still married. And so it makes you wonder, maybe there's a reason he plays bad guys. I'm sure Georgina would agree with me.
Wow.
Yep. So that was just pretty insane. I think that's I know people get divorced, but that's the first guy we've talked about on here who's been married to 5 people, which just seems like a lot.
Wasn't Nicolas Cage a lot, too? I don't remember how many.
I thought he was a few at least. Look. But like, after you have after you've had a wedding 3 times, why even do it, you know? Why even do it again?
Yeah.
I mean, maybe he didn't have a wedding every time, but it's still like after you make a commitment like that, even like 2 times, why even get married? I guess is what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
You know, why not just leave your relationships open? Obviously, I don't encourage that, but if you're going to live that type of life anyway, I don't see why you would go to the effort of, like, all the ceremony and all the legality of that. But so during Actor Spotlight, I like to look at the movies that the actor does before and after, like directly before and directly after the National Treasure, to see if National Treasure had any effect on where their career went in the short term. And so in 2003, he was in a movie called The Big Empty, and his character name was Cowboy. So I think he was just probably a side character, like a extra, essentially. He probably had like two lines. And it's about a guy who has credit card debt, and he gets told if he drives a blue suitcase full of something that he doesn't know to California and gives it to a cowboy guy. Well, I guess that means Sean Bean is the cowboy guy in this story. So this guy is going to drive this blue suitcase to Sean Bean's character in California. And when he delivers the suitcase, then the Sean Bean will pay off all of his credit card debt. And he has 27 grand worth of credit card debt that's going to be paid off. But when he gets to California, he can't find Sean Bean's character. And somehow he comes into possession of a package that's shaped like a head, which he has to keep hold of. And then that's really all the plot that I remember from the synopsis I read. So I don't really know what the point of the movie was. But the main character is played by Jon Favreau, who's the guy who has done a bunch of the production for all the new Star Wars shows on Disney Plus, and he's also a big part of the Marvel universe of like directing movies and stuff. And that movie has a 67% critic review rating on Rotten Tomatoes, but that's only from 6 reviews. And then it has a 48% audience rating out of 2,500 reviews. So it's not a very bigly reviewed movie on Rotten Tomatoes. And then the movie after National Treasure was, he did two movies in 2004. And the first one was National Treasure, and the second one was Troy. And he was Odysseus. And that one has a 54% critic rating on Rotten Tomatoes, and that's from 228 reviews. And I found that out on Wikipedia, and Wikipedia didn't have the audience rating, and Rotten Tomatoes is down for that page. So I don't know what the audience gave Troy. But from what I read, a bunch of people thought it was a flop, but it was a huge movie. Like, there was a ton of big actors in it. They spent tons of money to make it. So it made tons of money just because of how big of a movie it was, even though the plot sucked, I guess. Any comments?
Well, I just think it's sort of interesting that he did two movies sort of at the same time.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I know he's not in every scene for both movies, but at least in this movie, he's still a pretty prominent character.
Yeah.
I would say. I wonder if the spouses of actors ever think that they're acting.
Like, to their spouses?
Yeah.
Yeah, you never know.
That's all I had to say.
Okay. So the other things I have, I like to talk about the awards that that actors have, and he doesn't have a ton of awards, mostly because a lot of them aren't from America. So I don't know I don't know much about the other awards that he's won just because I'm not from Britain. But he won a couple of awards in America just by being in Lord of the Rings, because he's a fairly big character in the Lord of the Rings movies. So because he was in them, he, you know, got recognized for being in them, but he didn't win like best actor for those or anything because he wasn't the main character of Lord of the Rings. He won, this was the only other interesting award I saw, which was he won the Screamfest Horror Film Festival Best Actor Award for a movie called Black Death in 2010. Other movies he's done, like I said, he was in the three Lord of the Rings movies as Boromir, and he was in Percy Jackson, The Lightning Thief, or whatever the title is that movie is, as Zeus.
I forgot about that.
And then
he has different hair. That's probably why. But I can definitely see his face. Anyway,
I don't remember that movie very much at all. They don't see Zeus till the end, right?
Yeah. I just have seen it not super recently, but since I'm rereading the books, I did watch it.
Yeah.
A few months ago.
You watched it without me?
This was in like May.
Okay. That's fine.
Yeah.
Okay, and then the last thing I had written was that he was on one season of Game of Thrones, which I guess he did a big part in because he also has awards for that. But neither of us have seen Game of Thrones, so that doesn't mean much to us besides the cultural impact that it had. So that's really all I got for this minute. Not much happened. I mean, they found the ship, the Charlotte. We've talked about her on previous episodes a bit. Oh, so join us next time when we answer the question, is The Sound of Music a Christmas movie?
No.
See you later.
That's not our outro.
What is our outro?
I don't know. I say thanks for listening. I don't remember what you say. All right, well, thanks for listening.
No, I'm going to say...
Well...
I'm going to say...
Join us next week.
Join us next time. Hey,
yeah, I guess it's not next week because it could be months.
Yeah, join us next time on National Treasure Minute when we answer the question, is The Sound of Music a Christmas movie?
Thanks for listening. Bye! Bye.